Hello, all you positive heads out there. It is so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we are super happy to have you here. And we just ask that you bring an open heart and open mind to your listening experience and to be prepared to explore vantage points that I'm convinced will help shift or solidify your current understanding of the ultimate nature of reality in a way that is extremely empowering. Speaking of exploring powerful perspectives, I'm super excited to announce that on January 18th, originally January 5th, but I needed to push it back a bit, I'm going to be freely gifting each of you my very first book, The Golden Key, Modern Alchemy to Unlock Infinite Abundance. In the book, which was initially shown to me in a dream and has been followed by a next level amount of synchronicity, by the way, I share the keys to manifesting abundance that I've personally discovered over 20 plus years of trial, error, and deep exploration of these perspectives, as well as one golden key that ultimately ties them all together. Also, I would like to invite you to participate in a unique abundance manifestation game with me and the other readers that is outlined in detail at the end of the book and at the book's website, goldenkey.gift, where readers will also share the inspiring results of their abundance manifestation experiments. So if you're wanting 2021 to be the year that you alchemize the circumstances in your life so that your abundance expands to an entirely new level, head over to goldenkey.gift to sign up to accept my golden gift to you right when it comes out. All right, all you positive heads, here we go again, back again for another episode of the Positive Head Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Beecham. My co-hostess with the mostess, Dalian the Alien. Hold on, you're not a hostess. My co-host with the most, Dalian the Alien.
Oh, thank you. I'm not a native of Oildale, California either.
Oildale?
Yeah, I guess people from this town that I've never visited here in California maybe called Dalians, according to Urban Dictionary. Brandon, I had the bad idea of Googling the name Dalian.
No. Oh.
And yeah, that's one of the things I found out.
Oh, man.
You mispronounced your last name, by the way. I think it's pronounced Beauchamp.
Beauchamp. That would be the original spelling or pronunciation at some point in my ancestral lineage. But you know how we do things in this world. We constantly shorten, abbreviate, so forth, so on. I think that happened somewhere back there. Although Dr. Bruce Lipton said he was in England and going to a hotel that was Beauchamp, and he said Beauchamp, and they said, oh, that's Beecham, which I guess that's how they pronounce it there, even though originally the French pronunciation. Anyway, yeah. Rabbit hole.
Yeah, well, you know, I think they know a little something about that. The Brits, they're right next to France, and yeah.
Let's see, what do we have going on today? Oh, we received someone wrote in, Jackie, who has written in to us before, and Jackie said, I find it crazy how I'm starting to notice little things that just seem to link together. In your most recent podcast about money being no object, I actually read the same thing earlier that day in Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which is a pretty well-known wealth mindset book. And you saying how people are stuck in a rat race. It's a vicious cycle. I'm glad I found this podcast. It's just what I need when I seem to need it. I try to start and end my day with you guys. Even if it is the same podcast, I seem to get something different out of it each time I listen. Love, love, love the work you guys are doing. Oh, thank you, Jackie, for taking the time to give us that positive feedback. And, you know, once again, our days seem to get blessed almost every day now with someone taking the time out of their busy life to just send a little love back our way. And it feels so good. So thank you guys. And, you know, as I always ask, if you are feeling inspired by some, you know, by our work here, please take a moment and give us a review on iTunes. It is sort of the holy grail of podcasting and helps us to reach new listeners and
You're essentially helping to spread the positivity. And, oh, one of the things that we just started doing that I'm kind of excited about is taking the positive pondering breakdowns, the quotes that we do in this podcast, and actually turning it into a video clip with an image of the quote so that it's an easily shareable sort of Facebook video. Because what happens is if you link off of Facebook, if you ever have a link like, hey, go to our page and listen to our podcast, like it doesn't reach hardly anyone. So what we've done is we've just turned our just the positive pondering part into a video, you know, which you can easily play right within your feed. It doesn't link off site. And it's just a great, easy way to, spread, not only that quote, because that's the image that you see, but also a breakdown of that quote. So any of you guys listening, if you want to help spread the positivity, go to the Positive Head Facebook page and you'll start noticing. We'll pin the most recent, positive pondering video breakdown to the top of the positivehead.com Facebook page. And if you would share it, we would love you for that because it just helps. It's a very, very easy way to spread the positivity and for someone to just, you know, maybe get a taste of the show that hasn't ever heard before just by listening to the little video clip.
Indeed. And I must say that your breakdown from yesterday was you were on a bit of a roll there. You were quite inspired and it came out quite poetic, I thought. I used the word poetic to refer to the quote you pick from Joseph Campbell.
Yeah.
But I thought the whole thing had a very just a cool vibe because it was just sort of like your poetic exploration of what he was saying. But the words were just something that I think people will resonate. It seems they liked it. So
we certainly hope so. That is the aim of this whole thing, is to inspire ourselves and inspire you and inspire, you know, anyone that we can. So thank you guys for sharing your willingness to share. Let's see what is going on. Dalian, you got anything in way of a story, mysterious story, perhaps?
Yes.
Ah.
And as luck would have it, and set out to look for any kind of remote viewing story. The concept of remote viewing, I think we may have mentioned possibly once, yeah, maybe twice, but I don't think we've talked about it a whole lot. And the reason
it's actually pretty relevant with our most recent.
Exactly.
Okay, that's what you're going to say, with our most recent interview.
Yep, exactly. So it seemed appropriate. And also the name of this particularly talented remote viewer that they mentioned in this article. It's an article from EWAO, Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
But this name, Ingo Swann, sounded familiar.
Yeah, he was one of them. For those of you who don't know, remote viewing is essentially a sort of a scientific psychic method, I guess you would say, where it started with the U.S. military, you know, decades ago, where they would actually take these very talented psychics and have them going to sort of like their meditative mode and target a location. They would assign some sort of coordinates, a number. And really that number was just a symbol for some particular, you know, maybe a Russian base or whatever it was back in the day, and then they would go in their mind's eye and actually see this place and describe it and draw it. And it's a whole approach and technique for how to do this particular process, this sort of scientific remote viewing, they call it. And then people got weird with it and started remote viewing things out of, you know, off planet in the past and the future. And there's some really cool books and information out there about remote viewing. But it's kind of similar to what Jason Quitt, our most recent interview, what he does in astral projection, out of body experiences when he goes into, you know, sleep state. So just sort of another way to do a similar sort of thing and to travel and non-physical, right?
Indeed. And it sounds a lot like exactly like what you said, like what Jason does. In fact, the article's headline is Scientists Observe Men Travel Outside of Body, which if as you explained, the practice of remote viewing doesn't necessarily entail, I suppose you could say someone's consciousness is leaving their body, but they're very much I suppose present there, right? They're sort of in this meditative or, closed eye, lie down kind of state, and they have someone with them who's monitoring them. But what this article does, Brandon, is it makes it pretty much crystal clear that the U.S. military, as you referenced, was involved, actually the Central Intelligence Agency was involved with Stanford University mm-hmm. and some research back in the 70s, and the documents are now declassified, Brandon.
Yeah.
But it's official. So it's fascinating because, of course, like you said, the rumors have been going around for a long time. Like this article references, Brandon, apparently it got to such a point that when they were conducting these experiments or remote viewing, this guy, Ingo Swann, I guess he proved particularly adept at this skill, right? So he ended up doing he suggested it as sort of a control experiment for him to go to Jupiter, actually, and observe that planet, right? I suppose part of the reason why they arrived at that conclusion is that the Pioneer spacecraft was just about to fly by Jupiter at that time.
Right.
And this is, of course, one of the probes that the U.S. sent that's, I think, traveled outside the solar system by now. But long story short, Ingo goes out there to Jupiter, right?
Yeah.
He remote views some rings around the planet, and he's like, oh man, I went to Saturn. What a bummer. So he's like all kind of bummed out, and the scientists are like, yeah, haha, rings. What are you talking about? Turns out those were undiscovered rings around Jupiter
wow.
that Pioneer was able to confirm only, you know,
shortly thereafter.
Exactly, shortly after. And it got to such a point, Brandon, that the data that was generated through the remote viewing session was actually shared with the scientific community, apparently.
Wow.
From what the article explains. So that gives such a really kind of a veneer of legitimacy to the whole remote viewing thing, because that's the angle with remote viewing, too, is that it's trying to sort of find a organized system of documenting what's happening to try and apply sort of a scientific method to the whole OOB or OBE, you know, out-of-body travels.
Yeah.
So they're trying to, as you said, they're trying to not only have someone travel outside their body, but go to a specific place, report details vividly, try and document everything, and then they're trying to sort of verify the information, piece it together, etc. So this is pretty fascinating because it involves, of course, a case of someone remote viewing to another planet, and it turns out that the information was valid, it was verified, so it was a sort of a legitimate case of remote viewing.
Cool. Yeah, I read a book many, many years ago, over 10 years ago, called Cosmic Voyage, which was about a guy who learned how to remote view and then started remote viewing different events in time and space and, you know, extraterrestrials and all kinds of things. So, you know, who knows exactly, as Jason Quitt talked about, it's tough when you're talking about certainly future events because you're talking about various timelines. So what are you really seeing and, you know, so forth. But there's been some pretty remarkable tests with remote viewing because what happens, let's say I assign you, Dalian, to remote view President Obama and I call it, you know, I call that target 13652 and I tell you, Dalian, go visit 13652 and tell me what you see. You go into your meditative state, you start, you know, coming back. I'm sensing an important figure. I feel like I see a suit and tie. I feel like I'm in, you know, a political place. It's, you know, I feel like this could be an important politician. You know, you come back, you've drawn what you've seen kind of thing. And then they'd open the envelope and say, oh, that the target. So it's a really interesting phenomenon because, you know, there's some sort of like scientific validity to what they do. But yeah, very cool story. Okay, then moving right along, I would love to share a positive pondering breakdown of the day. And today's positive pondering is a quote by Dr. Wayne Dyer. And the quote is, "Abundance is not something we acquire. It is something we tune into." You can take a deep breath and relax. You've always thought, so many people have always thought, they have to do something in order to get something. How do I get from A to B? How do I acquire more abundance, more financial freedom, more, you know, relationship, you know, improved relationship status? How do I do these things? I've got to take action. And what so few people have realized, and thankfully more and more are waking up to, it's actually a vibrational frequency that you tune yourself to, this abundance. You know, most people do something like work in order to have something like money, in order to be something like happy. The opposite is how you do it, though, actually. You be something like happy, you find yourself doing and having the things that make you happy. And when you realize how empowered you are to attract the abundance into your life, it is an amazingly empowering process. It is something you tune into vibrationally. Everything is vibration. We know this. Science has proven this. If you look at me as I talk right now, what are you hearing? You're hearing all these atoms that when we zoom into all these atoms organized into my physical being. But when we zoom into these atoms and the particles that make them up, they're actually vibrations of energy. There's nothing solid about me. I'm 99.99999% space. And it's literally these particles are popping in and out of existence. We don't know where they come from or where they go to. It's all vibration. Everything, the sound you're hearing, it's a vibration. The light you're seeing in the room, wherever you are, it's vibration. It's all light at different frequencies, at different types of vibration. It's all the same stuff. And so when you understand your thoughts are vibrational in nature as well, the energy, it's like getting into a stream. You want to play in the pool that has the vibration of abundance. Get in the pool now. What are you waiting for? You waiting for some reflection external to show up in your world that will confirm it for you? Well, the problem with that is everything that you're seeing now is nothing more than a reflection of a vibrational offering you've made in the past. So if you want to understand what you'll see tomorrow, look at what you're feeling today. Where are you vibrationally? Use your imagination, the most powerful gift you were given that you were told to squash as you were a child. Let's turn that back on. Let's turn it up. Use that imagination to get into vibrational alignment of what it would feel like to have the abundance that you seek. What would it feel like to have the relationship that you seek? Be it to see it. Be the vibration of what you want and then take action. Don't take action to create it because the external is merely a reflection of a previous vibrational offering. And the shortcut to getting there is loving the past of what you've created because it's all part of the beautiful process of your reawakening, your remembering to understand how you create your reality.
Ah, I love it. Awesome.
That being said, and this gets, you know, Dalian, right into what we've been talking about the last few episodes. It sort of turned into a week of touching on abundance and finances and money because it is such a theme in everyone's life and one that causes a lot of people to get tripped up. So I keep coming across new ways to kind of share this information with, you know, of course, ourselves first and foremost, but the listening audience. And I would like to have one more day of this with a clip from one of my all-time favorites, who we always regularly feature on the show, Abraham Hicks. This particular clip by Abraham Hicks is called How Easy It Is to Get a Lot of Money, Just Apply the Simple Rule. And I found this on the Ronald Barros YouTube page. And yeah, let's take a listen.
I was the person who got up 2 years ago. I'd been laid off. And just a quick backstory. I'm about 2 years from paying off my place. So
things turned around for you, eh?
They did. Thank you. So I always have questions every year. I have just two this year.
We appreciate you coming back year after year, since we only have one answer.
Right.
It's very patient of you.
So my question is, how do I get to the big money, to the money that's what is contained within?
By diminishing the bigness of it.
Okay, thank you.
By acknowledging the simpleness of it. By reminding yourself that the creation of a castle and a button is exactly the same thing. Okay. It just depends on whether you're focused on the castle or the button. But just the fact that you call it the big money means that you have a vibrational barricade between the receiving of it and where it stands. It's big money, which means big. In the expression big, you mean harder to achieve, or you mean rarer, or you mean more special stuff I need to do. Abraham, I've been hearing you for years. I come with a couple of questions every year. You gave me the same answer, but I need a different answer this year because I want the big money, not just the money. I was laid off, and I admit now I'm not laid off. And that consistent, smaller money has been coming. And I like it. Don't get me wrong. I like it just fine. I like it. But I really want that hard-to-get stuff. I really want to get that stuff that hardly anybody gets. I want that really hard-to-get stuff. So could we have a more private meeting where you don't tell us how to get the simple stuff, but where you tell us how to get the big stuff? So let's go behind the curtain.
Right.
We'll whisper in your ear.
Did you
want the big?
Right.
We are making fun of you. We are. We're making fun of the idea that big things are more difficult to create. Big things are easier to create because you think about them more. Big things are easier to create because there's more life stream going to them. There's more attention from non-physical on them. But what trips you up in the big is that in the acknowledging that it's a big thing, you've got a bigger resistance. So you've just got to find a way of softening that resistance. What's big money anyway?
Where you essentially can wake up and do whatever you particularly want to do in a given day.
But here's the thing. If you can hear this, then you're off and running. If you can wake up every morning and think the thoughts you want to think, then nothing can keep you from anything. But if you're waking up and your thoughts are contained by the manifestation, then you can't move beyond where you are.
So then I feel pretty close because I feel as if, you know, to make I've been called up every year and I kind of do it.
Yeah, what's up with that?
But I know how I do it and I know how. I'm pretty good at visualizing, and so that's my assumption of how I get pretty much what the things that I get. So even though I might use the term big, I'm pretty good at visualizing those things. So I mean, I feel as if the, you know, $1,000, $2,000 more a month, that's work. But the even though I might use that term, I feel as if that's easier for me because work is not something I factor in.
The thing that's tripping you up is the distinction between, in other words, you are equating so much effort with so much money. And so, you know, that's what you meant a little bit when you were saying, I know that I can do the work. I know that I can do the hard work.
For an incremental amount, but I feel as if...
Because I am limited by the amount of effort that I can offer. In other words, if I'm thinking in terms of dollars for effort, then I can only offer so much effort. There are so many hours in a day, and there are only so many people willing to pay me equivalency for what I'm offering.
Right.
So you have to stop looking at your earning in terms of equivalency for effort and begin looking at your receiving. Let's change the word earning to receiving. And let's change effort to vibration, to personal vibrational offering. Can you hear the difference? Because if it's about earning an effort, then you're right. You're limited to how much you can do. You're limited to how many things you can accomplish or to how many people that you can convince about the value of what you're offering. But when you understand that it's not about earning, it's about receiving. And it's not about effort, it's about vibration. So it's not about doing, it's about thinking. And it's not even so much about being aware of your thought as it is being aware of how you feel when you think the thought. Now you've got the formula.
Right. And so I feel as if I'm kind of there because for, it's the incorrect term, for the big things, I do that. I don't factor work or effort into it.
Explain more.
Because, like, for me, my belief is that to, you know, make an incremental amount more a month, like $1,000, $2,000 more. That is work. I know how to do that. But for something that I might use an incorrect term, big, I can visualize that, and I know I can get there emotionally. So I feel as if I don't factor effort into that because I just listen to you. I try to do my best to go there.
So why are we having this conversation?
I don't know. So that's it's
because you're still monitoring the manifestational outcome.
Thank you.
And then questioning your vibrational state of beingness.
So all I need to do is lower that a little.
Lower what?
Lower, like even the desire to question or the observance.
Well, what you're wanting to do is raise your appreciation of your knowledge of the energy and raise your appreciation of your vision. In other words, it really is as simple, and you sort of have to figure out how to work this out. It really is as simple as if your desire or dream, goal, if it pleases you when you think about it, then you're in the right vibrational stance.
Thank you.
But if it feels like disappointment, or it feels like a challenge, or it feels like something that you haven't figured out yet, or it feels like a dilemma, or it feels like injustice because you see others have figured it out and you haven't. So you really have to think and feel and think and feel. So what you do is you dream a little about what you're wanting. The thing that trips a lot of people up is that they want a state of being. Like they will say, I desire enough financial abundance that I can do whatever I want. And we want to say, you got it backwards. It is the doing what you want that causes the alignment with the vortex that takes away the resistance that then brings the abundance to support whatever you want. The money isn't the means to the happy life. The happy life is the means to the money. But how can I feel happy in this moment when I'm working harder than I want to work on things that I would rather not do? And we say, because you have the ability to think around it. First, you have the ability to appreciate more of what you are doing. You have the ability to say more positive things than negative things. You have the ability to look for more positive aspects and fewer negative aspects. You have the ability to appreciate others more than criticizing them. You have the ability to appreciate yourself more than criticizing yourself. You have the ability to focus, even when you're just looking at what is, in a much more productive, meaning good-feeling way. And if all you were doing was just looking into your now for things that you could appreciate or praise, you would shift your vibration enough that it would raise to the vibrational level of what's in your vortex, of what you've been dreaming about. But what's tripping you up, and it trips almost everybody up, is this comparison between where I am and where I want to be. So what you have to start doing is you have to say, I'm going to go there in my mind. And we know that has to be incredibly annoying, but that is the path. Because if you can't get there in your mind, you can't get there.
Right.
Demanding of us, they keep saying, I don't want to get there in my mind. That feels foolish. I want to be there so I can get there.
Right.
If I was just there, then I'd get there. And we say, there's a journey between where you are and where you want to be. It is not a work journey. It's not an effort journey. It's not a getting hired journey. It's not even a great idea for a great product that the world wants journey. It's a vibrational journey. It's the difference between praising and criticizing. It's the difference between smiling and frowning. It's the difference between dragging yourself across the parking lot and skipping yourself across the parking lot. It's the difference between loving and hating. Is the difference between feeling good more of the time and feeling bad more of the time. That's the only difference, because you've been living life and you've put it into the vortex. Your vortex is full of everything that you want, and it is a vibrational speed that you usually aren't at, because you are like most people. You are observing what is instead of dreaming about what will be.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I loved Alien, how she says, you know, creation of a castle and a button are the same thing. And by the guy asking the question, by calling it big money, You, what are you saying? You mean it's harder. You're saying bigger resistance. Soften your resistance. You're the abundance that created all things. You're one with the universe. You know, soften your resistance. Wake up and think the thought you want to think. You equate so much effort with so much money. It doesn't have to be like that. How many people, you know, spend 30 minutes on a, you know, talk or television show and make $1 million, you know, it's not the way. Quit with the story of how it's got to come through this hard work, you know, work smarter, not harder. And by doing that, work on your vibration and then take action. And I love Dalian how, you know, she says change earning to receiving, change effort to vibration. It's not about doing. It's about thinking and feeling. Quit monitoring the manifestational outcome so much, and quit questioning your vibrational offering. You know, raise your, I think this was a key point, raise your appreciation of your understanding of manifestation. The fact that you're tuning into this information and you understand and comprehend how this game works and you're getting it, maybe you're early in the process. That's okay. No big deal. The fact that you are where you're at in the journey, you know, applaud. I give you a big, big pat on the back, because think of how many of your predecessors, ancestors, neighbors, friends have no clue how this works. They're out there. It's like trying to build a house, you know, starting with the roof. They don't know the formula to manifestation. The fact that you're understanding the formula and you're just starting to, even if you're just a novice and playing with it, that's okay. You know, and I love how Dalian, she says, if it pleases you when you think about it, you're in the right space. So start thinking about it and drumming up the feeling. What is your vibrational, your relationship to manifestation? And if you're pleased with what you're feeling, then you found your mark. That's the beginning. And yeah, just so much goodness in this clip.
Yeah, it really is something that it's just such a big piece, Brandon. I know that we were a little bit just ever so slightly concerned, like, oh, should we talk about money again? But I love that we're coming at this from just a slightly different angle. It's not necessarily money, but it is financial abundance and it is material abundance. I suppose it comes down to
it's just the one that abundance seems to plague people the most, maybe, yeah, out of all the various forms of abundance.
That's a thing, though. That's absolutely right. It is such a, you know, thorny subject for all of us. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I was thinking as you were just speaking is that we seem to be stuck in a little bit of an outdated model when it comes to money that perhaps reflects this sort of Newtonian gross physicality kind of view of the world, that sort of realm of the macro, mm-hmm, as opposed to quantum physics, like you said. If you go into sort of the fine granular detail of reality, you could say,
yeah,
when you go from that macro realm of Newtonian physics into the world of subatomic quantum physics, where all those rules sort of break down, that's where you start having these, you know, different phenomena that I think really speak to what we know is true, which is consciousness is the ultimate sort of frontier. It's the underlying reality of it all. It's the sort of matrix of it all.
Yeah.
It's where everything comes from. So one of the things that I thought was remarkable is how there is such abundance in life to a degree that we really can't hardly fathom. I mean, one of the things I was thinking of, and I get to mention it today, is I looked it up. A single drop of water, Brandon, contains 2 sextillion atoms of oxygen and, wow, twice the number of hydrogen atoms. So how many is a sextillion? I have no idea. You're talking about one drop of water, wow, has that many atoms. It's almost laughable how life, you know, when it comes to one drop of water, it will throw sextillions of atoms in there just to form one drop of water. And that's just one drop. Think, yeah, of how many drops are in the ocean, right? So, I mean, life has no qualms when it comes to numbers, okay? Yeah. Numbers are sort of infinite, as we know.
Yeah.
So life has no qualms about abundance and throwing whatever's required, really, to make something work. There's really no end to how big or small. And so what is the confining aspect? What is what keeps us from experiencing that abundance? Our thoughts.
Yeah.
Our reality, our mind, or the reality that we create in our minds is what I think really follows that sort of, again, Newtonian physics of like, oh, I've got to expend a huge amount of effort to move this boulder, so to speak, right? Well, you know, initially we thought that we needed just 10 men, really strong men, to push against the boulder. Then eventually someone came along and figured, hey, you know, maybe if I create a lever mechanism, mm-hmm. I can, even with like the exertion of my hand, a single hand, I can move this huge boulder. And then, you know, extrapolate that to the present day, quantum physics and Abraham Hicks talking about like how to hack the matrix of reality. Your thoughts and emotions is what's going to hack that.
Quit observing what is, she said, and dream about what will be. You know, quit paying attention to what is external in your world, because all that is a reflection of a previous vibrational offering. Everything is a feedback loop. Everything is mirroring back to you a vibration that you previously offered. Love it, appreciate it, because it got you here. You can't get to, you know, point. It doesn't always go from point A to point Z. You have to go through B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J. Okay, great. What you're seeing now is a reflection of step J. Okay, great. Guess what's ahead? K, L, M, N, O, you know. So keep going and love what you've created previously. Don't get stuck on what you, that's just a stopping off point. You're on a journey, you know. The path is the goal. And I love also, you know, and it's something that we talked about on the last episode about this, doing what you want is what causes alignment with the vortex. The money isn't the means to being happy or having the happy life. The happy life is the means to the money. So follow that passion and then you'll find the universe supporting you, because you're in a vibrational state of joy and abundance and happiness. You know, it's you never work a day in your life when you're doing what you love. Find a way to start doing what you love. Just take that plunge and you will never be sorry.
Yeah, you've talked about that Jim Carrey quote that I think is so true. If everyone could become rich and famous, they would find out that that's not where it's at. And I think you can see it with a very plain observation of how there are people out there who are very poor and who are very upset about that, very frantic about money. They're worrying and, you know, making themselves sick. And there are people out there who are actually quite wealthy, who also are not happy with their lives. They're actually, you know, still concerned about money, still fearful about that whole experience. It doesn't matter whether you have or don't have money, if you've sort of already, in a way, made up your mind that you're going to be miserable.
Yeah.
So money clearly can't be the secret to happiness, right?
Well, yeah, there's plenty of people who are very miserable, just in a better part of town, right?
Exactly.
In a better living in a better neighborhood, miserable as they can be. So, well, Dalian, I think we're getting down to it for today. Running out of imaginary time. Luckily, there's much more where that came from, so we will be back. In the meantime, we'd love to leave you guys with a track by Dia Space. It is called Minor. Hope you enjoy.
Also, before we cue up today's song, I wanted to remind you about the Game with the Universe on our website, where you can choose the first number that comes to your mind and it'll pull up that episode number of the podcast. I've been saying this is a great way to co-create synchronicity and magic with your higher self for quite some time. And if you go to positivehead.com/universe, there is a super fun and simple interface to play this game with your higher self. I firmly believe just by setting the intention to play in this way, it opens up the door for magic, and it's a synchronistic way to hone in on nuggets of wisdom out of the huge catalog of episodes that are specifically appropriate for you at this time in your journey to becoming the next greatest and greatest version of yourself. And it also makes for a super fun way to spark the curiosity of friends and family by having them choose a number. So they'll hopefully go and check out their number as well, which I greatly appreciate because it helps us to spread the word about the podcast. Once again, the address is positivehead.com/universe. And as a quick reminder, if you're curious to learn more about Purium Superfoods and why I take them almost every day, be sure to also check out positivehead.com/transformation. On this journey of becoming the next greatest and grandest version of ourselves that we have all embarked upon, I cannot stress the importance of managing your physical vibration enough. And quite honestly, Purium has put together the simplest plan I've found to do so. I have my favorite, the Appleberry Shake, at least 5 times a week. Once again, to learn more about the Purium Transformation, go to positivehead.com/transformation. Or if you want to keep it simple and just try out my favorite, the Appleberry Shake, you can go straight over to ishoppurium.com and be sure to use code POSITIVEHEAD for 25% off. I'll spell that for you. It's ishoppurium.com. And be sure to use your Positive Head 25% coupon code.